Thank you, brother. Good evening, Christian friends, and a special good evening to those ministers who stood in that salute. The Lord God bless you, my brother. I am with you 100% in this gospel, too. And our brother Moore, just only some, approximately 200 of them in here, of just gospel preachers tonight. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. And may the Lord ever make his grace to shine upon you and give you the exceedingly abundantly above all that you could do or think, is my prayer. This is the night when we gather together for the closing of a meeting, which is always a sad time, yet a blessful time. It's usually more healing on the last night than there is all the rest of the night put together. And when we're singing that glorious old song of our Lord, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. I was thinking of that. Oh, that, who wrote that song? Paul Rader. How many ever knew Paul Rader? Does anybody know Paul Rader? Sure, a wonderful man. Not long ago, I was standing in his, in the very place where he wrote the song, and it was coming in over the ether waves of Only Believe, and I was thinking of Paul. I tell you, I'm kind of a temperamental person, and when I heard that and know that Paul Rader perhaps sat on that same chair when he wrote Only Believe, and they was introducing me to the platform, oh, I just couldn't keep from crying. I just, something just dripped down in my heart. Paul Rader. I was thinking when he died here in California, the remarks he made. He told a very personal friend of mine who's a bosom chum. He said, brother, if I'd have sold my message of grace to the Red Hot Pentecost instead of coming over here doing what I did, I'd been better off today. That's right. I say amen to that. Just a while ago, I was talking to Brother Schuller, Jack Schuller, having a meeting here. He said, Brother Branham, he said, when I come into Fort Wayne, I followed you. I told him, I said, Brother Jack, I never come here as your competitor. I come here as your brother. He said, well, I heard what you've been doing down there. He said, just shut the woods. He said, that's fine. I said, well, Brother Schuller, my ministry is more prayed for the sick. He said, stay with it, Brother Branham. I said, well, Pentecostal people. He said, I'm Pentecostal too. He said, what is a Pentecostal person, Brother Branham? Says, the fellow that's all about Methodist got a whole lot of spirit about him. That's pretty, that's about right. He said, when he was in Fort Wayne, that as soon as I got there, of course, some of the dry starches, you know, I had something to say after my meeting. He said, the brethren, Brother Billings, man of the temple there, who was backing up my meeting where I was at, he said they went out there and got a girl that was a perfect maniac. She was insane in all the institutions. They put her in a house and she jumped through the window. She jumped through a two-story window once, out from a two-story, fell into the yard, hurt herself. Perfectly insane. No nothing or nothing. Was brought to the meeting and made perfectly whole. Said he brought that person right up to the platform and said, here she is. I don't want to hear more criticism about Brother Branham. That's it. So that was all. So that was all. Yes. Brethren, there's a whole lot of them out there in those denominations with us in heart. That's right. And Brother Jack Schuler is a fine man. You hear me say the first night I come here. He gave me a little something, but it's his own slogan, so I guess I can pass it on. As he said, Brother Branham, no doubt a lot of people talk about your divine healing, praying for the sick. He said, they talk about me and dramatizing. He said, he told me I could pass this on, so I will. He said, not long ago, somebody said, Jack, why don't you quit all that there dramatizing? All that carrying on like that, and just preach Christ, let it go. He said, are you a fisherman? I said, yes. He said, what do you use for bait, T-bone steak? I said, no. I said, what do you use? I said, worms? He said, do you like them? I said, no. I said, why do you fish with them for? So that's what the fish bite on. He said, that's what it's called. So, Brother Ben, that's with your ministry. When you come to town, people expect you to pray for the sick. So now I come to town to look for the drama. So not because we want to do it, but that's our ministry. That's right. Let's stay with it till Jesus comes. That's right. Let's stay right with it. Amen. Now to this meeting. I've been to Phoenix, I think this is three or four times I've had services in Phoenix. But I say this from the depths of my heart. This has been one of the most pleasant times I've ever stayed in Phoenix. That's right. My boy just met me. Brother Sherrick comes and gets me at night and brings me up. Billy meets me here at the door, brings me on in. And brother, as we was coming down, we were talking, Billy met me there, and he said, I said, well, son, what about it? He was having a little satchel in his hand, said, they'd give you a love offering, Dad. I want to thank you. I said, what about the offerings? He says, everything is paid up clear, and they had some left over. They're going to the missionary. God bless your gallant soul. With the best of my knowledge, I'll do the best that I can with it through the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. Thank you kindly, and may God richly bless you and repay you 100-fold for all that you have did. And then there won't be no debts left in the city and so forth. Everything will be clear. And our missionary offering and a couple $100 or whatever it was left over out of the other will be placed right into the missionary offering. It'll all go for overseas work, which I know you'd be pleased with that to know that that's. And then my love offering, whatever it be, $200 or $300 when I get home, or whatever it may be, what debts I have, I'll pay it going right into the meeting, and what's left over that will go right straight into foreign missions. That's exactly the truth, and God knows that to be true. I thank every one of you. I want to pay a salute to my brethren and sisters, the sponsors of this meeting, and the cooperation of these pastors who's come and put not only their presence but their time and their heart in the meeting. You've been wonderful, my dear brothers and sisters. And if we never meet again this side of the river, we'll meet at the other side. I trust that soon I can return to Phoenix for a longer meeting. There's one thing we need here in Phoenix is either a great big auditorium, seats 8,000 or 10,000 people, or bring a tent. That's the best. And then stay till it's over. That's right. Very kindly. That makes me feel doubly welcome back. And I appreciate it. I'm your friend to help you at any time that I can. Now, to the laity. That we can't have a church unless we got the laity. You know, the pastor can't do it all. It's got to take the members of the church. Each one of you has helped support this meeting with your finance. You have supported it with prayer. And tonight, if schedule worked out regularly, two little women that's been hid away in these 8 days in the meeting have been fasting praying for this meeting. That's one of the reasons that it was a success. That's right. And may I trust that they're here tonight. That was told to me a pretty good authority, which I believe is authentic. So I appreciate you, sisters, and appreciate you, not only them, but others who've been fasting and praying too, and backing me up with your wonderful faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, when I stand around a group like that and that wall of faith around, you don't get scared, I can tell you that. There's something just stands right by you and makes you know that something's with you. Then we're putting up with that old sass brass preaching of mine. I'm not much of a preacher, and you even rallied at it, so I thank you. That's a lot of grace. I appreciate you very much. I want to thank you, each and every one. Now to another, this brother Ballard here. I never knew him very well, but this is his name. He is one who called me. I heard him at the ministerial breakfast the other morning. Heard him speaking for the first time. And besides a Christian, he's a diplomat. That's right. He's a fine brother. Not only that, but I met other brothers and sisters there who are real consecrated men and women of God. The very backbone and heart of Phoenix. That's right. Brother Schuler said in these 3 weeks, I think he'd had 500 accept Christ. I don't know how many we've had here, so we believe when we both leave tonight that Phoenix will be better off because of your all's cooperation with us in these evangelistic meetings that's been going on in Phoenix. If Jesus had come along, there'd be at least 1,000 people going where we would not have went otherwise. So we thank the Lord. Dollars and cents could never count those souls, could they? Never. Never. And God will bless us and live right on, as we have, with more than we did have in the beginning. Now the Lord be with you. Another person I want to recognize here tonight, and that's my good friend, John Sheriff. Thank you. Many of you may not know him. The little fellow who stands back has nothing to say. I didn't mean a little fella. My brother's corrected me. He weighs about 220. And me, call him a little fella, could you imagine that? Well, I mean, he's just as humble as a baby. just a very fine fellow. And his dear old gray-headed mother, and her, and his wife, and his children. We salute them with the respect that only a Christian can do. Peace be unto their homes from now on. They take us right in and give us the best that can be done, and oh my. I just can't express how we feel about the Sherrick family. God bless them. Give them home life. And many of you know John Sherrick, how he come to be what he is now. Because of humility in his heart. When a minister come here, and John Sherrick owned a little bitty cabin of a house, and this minister had nothing, the Lord told him to give that house to the man. All he had, and he took his wife and their clothes, the best of my knowledge now, and left and went up somewhere and put her in a garage and lived up there and taking care of somebody's buildings and things up there for the rent of the place. Working down here and had to borrow enough money to go into business from somebody here in town, and you know what God has done for him. And he's never got his head swelled up. He's just the same dear old brother Sherrick he used to be a long time ago. And I don't know what, I hope you don't get angry with me for saying that, but not long ago, that man was on the streets of a city selling apples and nickel teeth to take care of a widowed mother. God bless his gallant soul, and may he live long. That's right. And now he's taking care of a lot of widowed mothers. Everyone comes in, he'll put them somewhere and take care of them. God bless them. Now, another person I want to recognize tonight is, I don't know the man, I don't know what he has represented here or not, but if this man has got this light out here, the Blakely, I believe it's called, the man has got that light. I never heard of the man, I guess he knows nothing about us, but yet with that courtesy, we say, God bless Mr. Blakely, and may his service stations ever remain. Amen. God. Mr. Blakely, or your representative here, whoever it is, that's the way we all feel. If I ever in Arizona, I don't know where to buy gasoline. That's right. And I think the people feel the same way. Anybody's got a heart to help us in this great time of crusade, we're very happy. He never, that's not a commercial, that's not a thing, that's from pure love for my heart for the man. That's right. That's right. There's not one thing he ever asked me to say one word. He never asked anything to be said. I just feel that way about it. That's right. And that's the way we feel about it, every one of us. Somebody who's interested in our Lord Jesus Christ, we're interested in his welfare. Is that right? Because he's our brother. Now we pray that God will bless all. Now, next is for this arena here. I'll be called Madison Square Garden. I've been in Madison Square Garden in New York, a little larger, but I wouldn't be any more welcome, that's right, to the custodian. There's a man who helped us in out here at night with a flashlight. I don't know if he has a parking here or something. A fine gentleman. It's about the only one that I know personally that has anything to do with it. And to you who are here, the custodians or the businessman or whatever it is they see to this, we thank you from the depths of our heart for opening up your doors. And may, when you come to the land of glory, may Jesus Christ open up the doors for you and receive you in to his kingdom. It's our prayer. God bless you. If we can be a favor to any, we'll be glad to do it. Now, tonight, then it's the last night, and it really has been a healing service and a great pleasure. One thing more I want to say before I leave, too. Brother Jack Moore and Brother Brown, they've been with me through thick and thin, and they're here with me tonight and been with me through this meeting. And I don't know how to say about those brothers. They're just, well, we're just one in Christ Jesus, that's it. And so I'm trusting tonight now that God will bless you. May every one of you live, and I live, to see one another again in a great meeting in Phoenix, Arizona. May God bless you. To the white, to the Spanish, to the colored, to the Indian, to whoever it is, peace be unto you. God bless you, my brethren. Now I wish to read some of our Heavenly Father's words, and then I'm going to have prayer for the handkerchiefs. Many of them are here. Oh yes, I just remembered my wife told me to thank the lady that made some little Indian dresses, or one for each of my little girls and for the wife, too. I dressed her up in this morning, took her picture. She's an Indian now. All right, thank you, Connie. Someone sent us a cake and had on there to the little Eskimos and Brother Branham. Thank you. Somebody give Billy Paul $2 to give me. Thank you. And I was leaving this afternoon. A fine young man came and said, Brother Branham, you must take this. And they did in my hand. It was $6, $5 bill and one wine. God bless you, my brother, and do everything. If I've left out any, you forgive me. I'll miss them. Catch you all. Now, in the scriptures found over here in the book of Acts, I want to read first, and then found in Acts, the second chapter and the 22nd verse. Now, I'm just going to read and give testimony, and tonight I'm going to spend all my time in a prayer line, praying for the sick. I want to call just as many across the platform as I can, see what our Lord Jesus will do for us. I've been in prayer the last few hours, asking God what to do and how to do it. And I want, if God will hear my prayer, may there not be one feeble person in this building when it's left. I wish there was some way that I could. We used to have the old-fashioned plan where we caused people to crowd through. I don't know. Some of them think that's still good. But it crowds the people up and so forth. It is a personal contact. That is right. But if you just take this to note and believe with all your heart, now this makes it fundamentally fact, see, that what you see our Lord Jesus, it isn't a man, see, and you're sitting amongst the cream of the crop of Christians, see, and you're right there where all that prayers are going up out there, right there where the Lord here moving over the people. Well, that's the very thing that does the healing, isn't it? It's the very essence of healing. Now, listen here, now I'm going to speak of Jesus, the Son of God. 22nd verse of the second chapter of Acts. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Let me give Peter's address here to you again. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you also are witness. Who was he saying about? Jesus of Nazareth. God approved him by what? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, I'm going to read what Jesus said in St. John 5, beginning with the 33rd verse. He sent unto John, and he bare witness of the truth. I want you to notice now, catch these words close to reading of this word just before. This he said in the 31st verse, I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge. See? All praise given to the Father. Now he said, you sent to John, and he bare record of the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things that I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his life. In whose life? John's life. What light he was bringing, you were willing to rejoice. Listen, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given unto me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. God's the vindication of him. Listen. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Now, in the John, the 16th chapter, I want to read some more. beginning with the 28th verse. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverbs. Here's where I want you to get to now. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and that no, and needest not that any man should teach thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. Listen, because Jesus knew these things and spoke them to the people, they said, now you're speaking where we can understand. He knew what the woman's sin was. He knew where the thief had a coin in his mouth. When Philip came, Nathaniel, he knew where he was at under a tree, praying before Philip found him. He said, by this, that's no proverb. He said, by this we believe that you come out from God. Look at Jesus, the 31st verse. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? May the Lord add his blessing to his word. May I say this, as our Lord said it, Do ye now believe? Ye now? The gospel has been preached. The sick has been made well. Signs and wonders of supernatural power has moved through the audience, performing things that's beyond any comprehension of the human mind. Jesus Christ proving himself in the resurrection of the saints yesterday, today, and forever, knowing the thoughts of the people, a seer indeed. Not only that, but souls have been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, confirmation of the Word. All these things together, do you now believe? Believe that he has risen from the dead and living among us tonight? The same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you now believe that he's not a respected person? He heals the Spanish, he heals the white, he heals the Indian. He shows visions to the Spanish, to the white, to the Indian. To those who even speak their language, those who have another kind of language, and those who have another language. So God is God over every person, every color, every race, every language. He's God. Raised from the dead. Living among us, no respect of persons, neither male nor female, but all one in Christ Jesus. Oh, isn't that lovely? Here tonight, by faith I say this, by faith, I believe tonight that you'll see visibly in this audience the moving of the same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus Christ, showing signs and wonders. Without a doubt, the same Holy Spirit doing the same thing. Now when Jesus is here on earth, he did not claim to be a healer. He did claim to be a great person. He said, of myself, I can do nothing. Is that right? I only do what the Father shows me to do. What I see the Father doing, that I do also. Is that right? Now, no prophet and no one, even the Lord Jesus, never at any time ever performed a miracle or done anything without first God showing or advising them to do it. Look at the great prophet Elijah. Someone come not long ago, someone had criticized me in the paper. And a man that was with me said, Brother Branham, I'd go out there and put a curse on that paper. The whole brother. Jesus said, I never come to destroy people, I come to save people. They criticize them. That's all right. That don't hurt me. That's the best drawing card I got. Right. I get all that publicity free. We don't have to pay for it. So what money we pay for that, we take it over to the missionary overseas. See? That don't hurt. That's good. Everybody cannot see what all the trouble's about. Then we get it free. So they just do a favor not knowing it. See? So he said, we need another Elijah. We'll come out on Mount Carmel and said, now, how dare you come out here? I said, well, wait just a minute, brother. said, "Elijah, never waiting for no vision. Only thing you need to do is go out there and do it." I said, "I'll beg your pardon, brother. You're a scholar, but you're a long ways off the track right there." When Elijah called out there on the day at Mount Carmel, he laid those things together and walked out there and he said, "Lord, I did all this at your word." Is that right? Sure, always. At your word. Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself, but what I see the Father doing, I do the same thing he showed me." Is that right? St. John 5:19. So the Father worketh, I worketh the other two. In other words, all the ways of the supernatural, and no flesh can glory in the presence of God, so we just wait. Now, some men don't see visions. Some go by inspiration of presentment. The Holy Spirit says to a pastor, "Move to this other church over here." Though he don't get the money, they're there, but they're in need. "I want you over there." He don't wait for a vision because that's not his ministry. He just goes over there, and it's God just as much as it would be in a vision. Thanks. All right. Others go by something else. But all together is the working of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord bless you. Now look, Christian, my dear little children in Christ, my lovely one, I hate to leave you tonight, honest I do. I don't have to say that, but I really wish that I had a couple more weeks and things. But I just got my meeting so set, just pushing a day here and a day there and a day like that. So I've just got to hurry just as quick as I can get home and start right off. I'll get in, if nothing happens, on one morning and start right off that afternoon. So at the beginning of the very next day. So you pray for me, will you? And perhaps I won't see you no more, I guess, until I come back from overseas. But maybe it's an order, maybe to tell that vision. I promise you I would. I've got it written here in the Bible. And here's what will take place. The angel of the Lord has come to me and told me to return to Africa. And he set me down in Africa and showed me a greater meeting than was there at the first time. Then while I was standing there, while another angel come down from the heaven, he looked like some sort of a red-like garment. But he was above me and he turned me to the east. And I've seen all the African people here. The African people were sturdy, heavy built. But these were skin-like people. Looked like they had a blanket around them and had been pulled up and stuffed down like this. And I couldn't recognize them. But oh, they were so many more than they was of these African people. And this angel above me turned on a great big oscillating light. And it began to show back like that. And just as far as I could see was nothing but people. And it was up over hills and valleys. And they looked like Indians. And then when this angel above me spoke to the angel always with me outside, the big fella, kind of dark complexion, hair down to his shoulder, folded his arms. He was standing here by my side. I heard him tell this one standing by me, and the voice was so strong that it broke me out of vision, said there's 300,000 of those in that meeting. Mark that down, for thus saith the Lord, before it comes to pass. When the Archbishop of India came to my place recently and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Archbishop Pelea, he said, "Brother Branham, the way they're looking for you there, so that meant converts." Said, "I'll assure you there will be anywhere from a half to a million people in your congregation." He said, "All India is awaiting. And with this vision to back it up, watch what our Lord will do." I'm expecting a half a million converts in my journey. We go to Africa, to India, to Palestine, to Luxembourg and Frankfurt, back to London, and then back home, and then down in South Australia, New Zealand, and down in there. Perhaps maybe you'll get to see me after I come back from overseas. I want to ask you now, when the way is going dark in Africa and India, remember, when you go to India, just believe anything. Trick workers, all kinds of things. It was the same way in Africa. Don't you think those witch doctors won't challenge it? They sure will. But I have never seen a time when a half a dozen stand before me at one time to watch Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come in power. And I've never been scared. Never in my life. because I know he was the one who sent me. It's up to him to take care of me. That's right, thing. And when the way's getting dark over there, I'll close my eyes and remember that through this beautiful sunshine valley of peace, I've got thousands of people praying for me. And I feel secure that your prayers are wrapping me up, and may God be with you. If any of you have to slip off to glory before we meet again, God be with you. I'll meet you there by God's grace at that great day where we won't be praying for the sick or neither preaching the gospel. We'll be shouting the praises of the Lamb. God bless you. Now I want to pray and pray for these anxious. Our kind Heavenly Father, as we have gathered here in this building for the farewell meeting of this campaign, O great Jehovah God, we thank Thee for every soul that was saved. We thank Thee for everyone You give the Holy Spirit to, them that renew their vow. We thank Thee for every healing that You give to the people, seeing their testimonies come in by letter from the beginning of the week as they went home, find out that tumors are missing, cancers have come up gone, their doctors pronounce them well. We're so thankful, Father, and may everyone that's even entered the doors of the campaign, may every one of them be healed. Grant it, Lord. And now, I pray that You'll bless us together tonight in the closing of this meeting, and may the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ rest upon Your humble servant, that the people might take heed and know that I have told them the truth, and by this they will believe. Bless these handkerchiefs, Father, as I lay hands upon them, needy people. Just look in here. Come, Lord Jesus, and take us out of this death house. Oh, God, let Thy mercy be with these people. Some of them are Indians, perhaps, some Spanish, some white, some colored. Oh, God, wherever they are, whoever they are, they're Your people. Now I pray that You'll deliver every one of them. May Thy grace and blessings, and if I have found favor in Your sight, answer my prayer, God. And I pray with the deepest of sincerity that You'll heal every person these handkerchiefs touch. Grant it, Lord. May it be done for God's glory in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And in the little mix-up of some of them have not get your handkerchief, just write them and I'll send you one. God bless you. Now, just a testimony, so we can start. I want to call just as many as I can to the platform. I've got about 10 minutes now, so time to call. Just a little testimony. If you've noticed, I haven't given one testimony since I've been here, because I've kept it all in preaching of the Word. Well, Mr. Baxter and the management sometimes is with me. They do the preaching, and I just come in and testify. Now, usually, when you're anointed, leaving home with that spirit on you, when you come in and go to preaching, then the first thing you know, you're in a different attitude. Now, then again, that kind of hinders the meeting a little bit as far as that part. But yet, I've appreciated the opportunity to speak to you. Now, I want to kind of give a testimony. Many thousands of testimonies. My, how, if I would stand right here for the next 3 weeks in this platform, 5 hours a day, I could still be testifying of what I've seen our Lord Jesus do. That's right. Incredible, almost miracle, how that God has performed such great things. Not me now, how God has performed. See? There's no man that can perform these miracles. Jesus could not do them Himself, only as God let Him know how to do it and what to do. Now, God was in Him. God was the one who done the work. Now, notice. But now I want to give a little testimony. I don't know what to start on. I'm kind of wondering, passing through my mind what to say. Well, here's one. And then just a few moments, we get the field of the meeting. Then we're going to call for the prayer line. And with you tonight, by God's help, promise me that you're going to throw every speck of faith you can right into the Calvary tonight for your healing. Do that. Now, I just left Chicago a few weeks ago, and I come home, and being so tired, I could hardly get up. And at home, bless their hearts, the people come, you can't turn them down, have to get there, so you just It just had the miniature bones up there. We haven't eaten one time in our house. We've been living 5 years with the shades up. That's right. My wife, I guess they introduced her tonight here that is going to. She's 34 years old and almost completely gray, as you know. If there's any credit to be given to the Branham family, it doesn't come to me. Give it to her. She's the one who stood between me and the door. Helping the people. Doing all that we can. Bless her heart. May God give her a peace in the kingdom of God. Only a preacher can already realize what a preacher's wife goes through. You know it, brother. I'm so glad God gave us a helpmate, aren't you? Yes, sir. A man's got a good, loyal wife ought to be so true and loyal to her. And she's got a good husband ought to be the same way. Look at the world today, how it is, the chaos. So when I come home, I went out to an old friend by the name of George Wright. Down the country where little Georgie Carter, you've heard that in the book, of course, their testimony. The thinnest person I ever seen, even thinner than Florence Nightingale, when she was healed. But Georgie only was a little woman to begin with. She had weighed about 35 pounds. You've heard her testimony. Laid there 9 years, 8 months, never moved off of bed. And an hour from then, she was in the yard praising, leaping, shouting, giving God glory. She's my pianist in the Milltown Baptist Church at Milltown, Indiana tonight. Never been to bed, only used to go to sleep at night since. And been there 9 years and 8 months, couldn't even move. Couldn't even raise her sputum cup to sit in. Her limbs up here, her hips, wasn't over that big around. If you'd seen that skeleton come from the bed and go into the yard and sit down and bless the leaves and was sitting at the organ playing Jesus, keep me near the cross, when her father come in and sneezed with a bucket of milk in his hand. Right. Then that thing, she went to a church that didn't believe the days of miracles was past. And they said if I ever entered their door, that they'd be put out of the church. So everybody told them not to let me come in. But Jesus sent me down there, and I went in. She wanted me to, and God healed her. And now, whole family's still with the Holy Ghost. So that's different now. So I went out to Mr. Rice, a dear old friend of mine, 70-something years old. And my wife, being with me in the meeting, we didn't know that this condition existed. And so when I went down there, I found him with a blood clot in the back of both of his legs, and a specialist had been out there, way out in the country where it is, and said he only had about 3 or 4 days to live. That the blood clot with the hardening of the artery was, as soon as the blood clot was in his joints of disease, and as soon as it let loose, it would go to his heart, it would kill him instantly, if it went to his brain, it would paralyze him. No hope at all, specialist. Well, I had to find that news when I went in, and he was laying on the bed with his hand up crying. And I said, oh, Brother Branham, we tried to get to Chicago. They sent telegrams, but I never did get them. So I went in, fell across the old man praying, asking God to let him live. And I stayed there that day about 2 or 3 days, praying for the man every day. And I was trying to relax. Every morning, I'd get up, go out, get my old shotgun, go up on the hill and sit like a scare rabbit. I come back down, pray for him. Go back up, finally, people begin to find out I was over there. Okay, so I went back next day, and there's about 8 or 10 cars sitting out there. So I couldn't go up the house at the time. So then the next, my wife called and said, honey, I hate to call you, but said, you're just going to have to come home because a missionary to the Jews, a very fine Christian woman. She lives in Louisville, go to be in Palestine at the same time, let them over there. And she's a very noted woman, a graduate of Moody Bible in Chicago, and a fine woman, a strict believer in divine healing. God has healed her and done many things in her family. And her daughter was in the hospital, and the doctors had given her up for some kind of poisoning from childbirth, and she was laying dying. The whole Baptist hospital staff in Louisville, Kentucky, which is a great hospital, I forget how many hundreds of rooms it's got in it. One of the best medical staff there is in the nation, I suppose, at this big hospital. Many of you here from Louisville know where it's at the end of Broadway up there. And so There she was laying there, and James C. Robertson, a great Christian attorney, internationally known, very close friend of Kenneth, of course, in England, which is bringing the award to England this time, writes the, like a Reader's Digest, goes all over the world. And he went up there, and his father's one of the presidents on the staff, and they've done everything and got every doctor they could for this woman, because he was a personal friend of Mrs. Baker also, girl's mother. So I went home. When I left, the Wright family again cried and said, "Brother Branham, Brother Shelby went out with me, his son, about 40 years old. He said, 'Brother Branham, what do you think about Dad? You think he's going to die?' I said, 'Yes, Shelby, I believe your daddy's going to die.' He said, 'Brother, I need to give Dad up.' His little sister come over and said, 'Brother Branham, what do you think of Daddy?' I said, 'I believe he's going to die.' I said, 'I believe he's going home to meet the Lord.' Of course, we know Christians don't die. There's no such a scripture in the Bible. Christians don't die. They just go to be with the Lord. Now, I said, he's 72 years old. God promised him 70. Now he's 72, and he's been a healthy, strong man. But now his time's come. His doctor's been here and said he was dying, and the blood clot looks like it's swelling up in his body now. Perhaps he's lived longer now than the doctor did him to live, but I've asked God. God never said a word to me, so I suppose God is going to take him." I said, "He's a Christian, ready to go, so there's nothing. He's lived his life, so I guess God will take him." That's all I knew. So they was crying, of course. I had a farewell prayer for him. Went on home. Thank you, brother. Went on home. And when I got home that night, that afternoon, I went over to the Baptist Hospital, and as soon as I got over there, her son-in-law, the old mother, her son-in-law, he was a Catholic, and after marrying this girl, had changed churches and become a Protestant. And his people were Catholic yet, so they sent for the priest to come and anoint the woman for death, just for consolation for the family. So it happened to be the Irish priest and I met there at the same time. I said, "Now, just a moment. I have no disregard for any man's religion, as far as I'm concerned. But if, let me go in first. If this brother or this priest is going in there to anoint her for death, I'm going in to anoint her for life." I said, "We can't get this mixed up." But I said, "If you will, let me pronounce life on her first." So they let me go in. Then when I went in there, this group of people saying to us, she's kind of in a coma, swollen way up her eyes and everything, some kind of a poison that comes from childbirth that they could do nothing with. So the medical science. But I went in, asked to be in the room along with her. I stood there, I said, "Sister, do you remember me?" And she tried to open her eyes. She said, "Who is it?" I said, "Brother Branham." And she started crying, tears washing her, swollen face, young woman, about 22. And she said, "Oh, Brother Branham, shake my hand, shake my hand." I said, "Now, just don't be hysterically, sister dear. See?" And I took her over her hand. I said, "I come to ask prayer." She said, "Oh." I said, "Now, be quiet, be quiet. See, don't get all emotional. Wait till God heals you and then get emotional." And so I said, "Come solid, sanely, listening and out." So I laid the hands up on her and asked our dear Lord Jesus if he would heal her. I prayed for her, walked back from the bed, and was going to leave. I picked up my overcoat and hat, and when I turned around, up over that bed was that pillar of fire moving around and around. I knew he was going to say something. Now, I hadn't started meeting for about a week or 10 days since I left the Chicago meeting. And there it was moving around. I stood still. I seen what he said. I walked over to the bed and I said, "My dear sister, don't you know your condition?" She said, "Yes, Brother Branham." She said, "I pray that God will show you vision." I said, "He has. And I have thus said for all." I said, "In about 6 or 8 hours, they're going to put a pool motor here to try to bring you to. Because you're going to go into a coma. But you're no more than going into it, just a second to you're coming out of it." And I said, "In the..."
walked up to me, put his arms around me for just a minute. He said, Brother Brennan, around here, you say, thus saith the Lord, in 36 hours my wife will be home. I said, if it is, I'm a false prophet. He said, Brother Brennan, my little baby had club feet. You prayed for it a dozen times, I guess. We had to pray for it. One day, one was in the room, it's packed full of people. You saw a vision and said, thus saith the Lord, in 24 hours, your baby's feet will be straight. So the next morning when I went to the crib, the baby's feet were straight, and it's been straight ever since. And he said, if you say thus saith the Lord, my wife is going home in 36 hours, I'm not even going to the room and go get my hat and go home and clean up and wait for it. I said, God bless you, my son. If that isn't true, then I'm a false prophet. Just remember that thus saith the Lord. That just happened the way he went. I come back outside downstairs with a fellow by the name of McDowell. The McDowell Electric Company in Jeffersonville was at the bottom of the set. His top man in electricity, his mother had just been opened up at Frankfort, Kentucky with the cancer to the didn't even sore up. She was 61 years old. They opened her up and they're just so full of malignancy. They just pulled her together and taped her, laid her back on the bed and said she's going to die. Brother Mac said, Brother Bill, surely you'll go up there about 7 miles from home. I said, I know your car, honey, but I said, I'll go. So we got this car and away we went. And I went up to the woman's place, had prayer for her, started out of the hospital, and somebody put their hand on her shoulder, it was a little nurse, and she was crying. She said, Preacher, I've always believed that I'll see the day when those things come back, the Bible days again. Said, first time I ever heard of it. But said, I believe what you asked God in there, God would. I said, well, bless your heart, sister. What do you ask of God? She said, I'm not sick myself. But I said, what should I ask God for you? She said, nothing, but let me be a Christian like that too. I said, well, God grant it to you, sister. When I went out home, I got in around about 5 o'clock in the morning. Two carloads of people sat before the door, had prayer for them money, went to bed, slept till about 9 o'clock. I got up and started out of the house. Started out of the room, into the hall, leaped out into another room. And I started out, I put on my dance robe and started out. Standing in the room was a very attractive young woman. I never thought of a vision. I said, good morning. What are you doing in here? And she never said a thing. She just turned her head, said, Mother, that's just the way I expected it. And when I looked over sideways, I heard it was a vision. There stood that gray-headed woman, 61 years old, with cancer, head cancer, standing by a phone, having a conversation over the phone with some of her friends leaning up against her kitchen cabinet in the home. I said, look at that. I said, oh, that's the woman that I prayed for last night. And just I heard something, frogs dropping. I looked around, I seen a willow tree. And there was great big yellow clouds of clay dropping. And I heard the angel of the Lord speak and say, thus saith the Lord, the people who are laughing at Mr. Wright, he will dig their grave. Oh, God. What a feeling. The next Sunday, following Sunday, the woman was home doing her work just as normally and well as she ever could be. Staff of the old Baptist staff there, the staff of the hospital, and it's the Northern Hospital it was in Frankfort. Staff of all of them, how she got well, they couldn't find any of the cancer. You know what the doctor said when I asked him? He said, you know, I must have been mistaken. Oh, my, I must have been mistaken. Then some of these others must have been mistaken or something. All right. And Mr. Wright, I called up and I said, I have thus saith the Lord. Said, Brother Brian, he's almost paralyzed this morning. I said, Brother Wright will dig the grave of those who are laughing at him. And I don't know if he's a grave digger, but he was. And on the second day, the blood clot spread. They couldn't find a trace of him anywhere. And Mr. Wright's time and crying with his side. It went perfectly normal and well. What is it? It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. coming out of glory, made manifest around us. I spent my time to go to India on the 23rd of last month. Got too big a hurry. Of course, that's the way I usually do it. God has to slow me up some. Just being an Irishman, you know, and trying to do things, just hurrying to it. So then, I was going through the room, ministers and people, and there stood a man with a towel over his head. Look something on the other lady sitting here now, that towel across her head. It's kind of dark complexion, his nose is kind of flat in his foot. And I said, how did you do, sir? I thought he was one of the patients of the house. He just raised his eyes and said, Brother Branham, don't go overseas until September. I looked at him, he was gone. He was vanished. Now, what is it? It's the word of the Lord made manifest. When those visions are perfectly true, they are sent from God. Now compare that to any stranger in the gate. I wish you to compare that time, go to my hometown, get my book, trace down any testimony, ask any time, if every one time that vision failed. And how these things are. And isn't that the same Lord Jesus that was with Paul out there that night on the stormy sea, 14 days and nights, no moon and stars? All hopes is it over me? All hopes, everybody lost hope. The old ship was water on, and there was Paul. Look! All hopes of being saved was gone, and Paul was down the gallery perhaps praying, and the angel of the Lord comes in and says, "Dear, I fall down to sleep on the four seasons, God, get all those sails to you. Come back out, that little quick-nosed Jew shaking his hand and heart, feeling the cheer." My, right in the midst of the storm. For the angel of God, whose turning I am, stood by me right side, said, "Dear, I fall." And I believe God, he said, it'll be just the way it was shown to me. In the vision, he saw the ship wrecked upon it. Be sure, one snake bit him by the hand and stood him off the bottom of the hot dog. The Holy Ghost. He was between three straits one time, not knowing where to go. And when he started one way, there's a man stood up and said, "Come over to Macedonia." Is that right? If this, he is set on the door for me because this is that. And if this ain't that, I'm going to keep this to that tongue. This is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You love him? I'm 5 minutes late in talking. God bless you. We will call the prayer line now. Start praying for the sick. How I'd love to tell about his goodness. All right, go, Paul. Everybody said I didn't talk to him this evening or tonight. I don't know whether he'd get out there for us anymore or whether he did or didn't. All right, tell me where you are and show up. All right. Now, I want you to notice that every time the Lord performs something here at the platform, he can do the same out there. Is that right? He can do the same. Now, this year, this is not a stage show. It's not something that's worked up. It's the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Just have faith and believe. And if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe. God bless you, everyone. Billy, wait like that again. We'll give you your time. All right. My brother has been a great help to me. I'll say this one thing, not to him, because he's sitting here, but he's just in the adolescent age. God's with the boy, though. If that boy will fully surrender his heart, the way he's received in the Holy Spirit, yes. But if he will fully surrender himself, we'd have a double prayer line running here tonight. God's with the boy. We'll be going down the road somewhere and say, "Daddy, we've never been on the road before." You see, we're going past a red barn. There's two cows standing near the fence. They're white cows, something like that. We'll drive for a few miles. They see it, Daddy. There you are. The other night there's somebody who had never been this place before. And he said, you know, the strange thing is, Daddy, he said, when you come in tonight, there's going to be a certain person meets at the door or a certain thing. It's just that's the way it was. See? It's the angel of the Lord, the gift of God passing by the boy. If he'd only surrendered himself to that, we'd get a double on him started here. See? You pray. God grant that it will be. You want to receive with him to Africa? He's going back again. The Lord willing, if the army don't take him. In this next trip. What prayer do you give out, Paul? One to 100. All right. Let's begin at one, then. All right. Prayer card P. That's us and P. That's a good number, so good letter to start with tonight, isn't it? And P. Who has prayer card number one? P number one. Raise up your hand. There? All right, ladies, come right down here. Number two, P number two. Raise up. Mother, if some of you was up here at the platform, stand up. You want to speak just a little more? I will. Come here just a minute, honey. This is going to kill her to do this. She's so thankful. But I want her to come up here. All right. And the baby. This little wife, I thought she'd always, she's so bashful, so timid, I'll get her up here, but I have to go past her myself. And this is my little girl, Rebecca. This is Sarah. God bless her. The queen of my life, Miss Branham. I call one sugar, the other honey. I've got a sweet family. And I look like drawing dividends all the time, doesn't it? All right. Little Rebecca, here, just a word for her. Little Rebecca, 8 years old, will be her birth. She saw her first vision about 2 weeks ago. One night in Hammond, Indiana, she was crying when they got me out of a meeting and I was about to pass out myself. And I said, what's the matter, honey? And she said, Daddy, she's waiting back to several thousand people. She's up in the balcony. She said, Daddy, some poor old woman laying on a stretcher, and you said, oh, wants to be healed. Raise up your hand. Said, you couldn't see her. She, the crowd stood up, and you couldn't see her. A poor little heart was breaking. Well, honey, she didn't raise her hand. Jesus saw her. He said, but Daddy, she didn't. You didn't see her, and she wants you to see her. Well, I said, it'll be all right. Jesus will heal her. And the next night, this little fellow climbed up in that balcony and seen the woman and started praying for her. And that same night, the Holy Spirit turned me around to the woman, and she had been pulled in there by an airplane, was paralyzed from a stroke, and God called her and healed her and made her perfect, and she packed her bed out of the building that night. That's right. That thing. All right, honey. Do you want to say a word? Do you want to say praise the Lord? Do you want to say a word, honey, while you're saying? She's found it backwards. I'll say for her. We love you, don't we, honey? And we appreciate the kindness of all you people. God bless you and thank you for this, giving your praise. God bless you. Thank you. Prayer card. What was that now? Well, next we're calling 3. Got 1, 2, 3. There's 4. Who's got prayer card number 3? Is this the lady? You have prayer card 3? 3 right here, all right. Number 4. Who has number 4? You lady coming out? 4. Who has 5? We have prayer card 5. 6. Quickly, raise it. 6. All right. 7. Prayer card 7. We try to get them one at a time so we won't be sure to miss anyone. 7. We're going to get to everyone tonight. Number 19. 20. How many are we getting on? Well, right here. All right. When the time comes, you can pack or whatever. All right. Everybody be reverent. We'll try to get those two and see if we can get some more.
What kind of recommendation?
All right. The Lord be blessed. Now, if you will, that's his card. Can you send that number? Can you send that number? All right, brother, maybe you call it. If not, don't pay attention to it. You look very clear, see? You will get well. You believe that? You only have one hope, and that's in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I have faith. I know he's troubled too much, see? I know what that is, but I'm just waiting. You can't grasp it, right? I'm trying to watch for your faith. I have a right to every night. A few nights ago, you really thought it was over, didn't it? The angel of the Lord was so close to you, just right over you, and haunting you. See, what it was. Your ears have been quieter since then, too. See, that's what it was. I want him to heal him for you, see? I can't make it. I have to ask, you see? And you just believe with all your heart, and the man will be able to walk out of here tonight, take his bed, and go home. Amen. Just have faith. Now, don't doubt, sir. Just have faith. God bless you. All right. Now, let's sing Only Believe, if you will, now, slowly. That's it. Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister. Say, there's two that I missed a while ago. The musician. God bless you both. And all the special things. What a Spanish choir, too. Glory to Adios. That's all I know in Spanish. Is that glory to God? All right. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will come and take all to me, and we reproduce his life and his love to you people, from this day henceforth, you all claim to be your Savior and live for him in loving, claim for your healing, and you shall receive it. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I take every spirit in this room under my control for the glory of God. Now, lady, I just want to talk to you just a little bit. I have no way of knowing you, but it's only God who knows you. Is that right? Now, we're strangers to each other, are we? Now, look, friend, this lady and I are strangers. We have never met in our lives. We're perfectly strangers. And I suppose, are you Spanish? I thought so. She speaks English. Now we don't know one another. She's probably raised here in Arizona. Whether she was, she might have been come from Mexico, I don't know. But anyhow, we was born perhaps miles apart, and no, not one another, never met before in our lives, are right here. Now, what would I know about the woman? Not a thing. God knows that to be the truth right now. But he knows everything about it. Is that right? Then he is raised from the dead, and he said, now, what if Jesus was standing here before the woman? Now, he couldn't tell her, I'll heal you, because he's already did that, if that's what you need. If she needs finances, he needs her finances. She needs a Savior, he's her Savior. Whatever she has need of, Jesus Christ can supply that need, and has supplied it. The only thing he could do if he was standing here would be tell her what her needs were, like did the woman at the well. Here to begin with tonight is a perfect picture of Jesus at that time at the well. Now, not me, but him, see? She is a Spanish woman, and I'm Irish. What a difference. life. Notice, those people came from the same mind from Ireland. But here we are standing two, just like Samaritans and Jews that night. Now, see, if I have told the truth that Jesus raised from the dead and promised the things that he did, will you do also in our claim that when I was born, no religion at all. Now, people before me from Ireland, of course, were Catholic. But my family had no religion at all. In the very morning when I was born, 3 minutes old, when they opened a little window, not the kind you have here in Phoenix, no, a little wooden door, just pushed it open. This pillar of fire that you see here come right in and hung over where I was playing. The first thing I can remember is seeing a vision. See, nothing that I've done. God just let me come on this earth to do this work for him. I'm only doing my duty to God. See? Nothing for me, it's for you. Now, if he's standing here the same yesterday and forever, he'll know it. Now, lady, I just want to look at you just a moment to speak with you. Just to contact your spirit and to see what the Lord would tell me. Of course, you know I've been stalling for something. It's the anointing of the angel of the Lord, because if he doesn't come, then I know nothing. But when he comes, he knows all things. If he will by his grace let me know what's wrong with you, you will accept your healing or whatever it is. Is that right? Yes, some kind of spell. It's epilepsy. Isn't that right? Now, just a moment. Now, here's the thing. There's something wrong with the woman, the vision threatening. There's something wrong with the woman I know that jerked from the audience. Now be reverent. Now, friends, this is not playing church. Now be reverent. Now, just a moment, lady. I want you to look this way again. I lost what it was. There it is. You have something you follow with or something. It's false epilepsy. There it is again, that man has epilepsy set right there. Isn't that right? Lay your hand over on him. Look here, lady. Look here, sir. That demon. Can you look here? I can see that with my eyes. See that black streak moving from one to the other? That's them demons crying to one another for help. They know their time's come. Look here, lady. I want to see what's going to happen. You're worried about somebody, too. Yes, she has cancer. Is that right? And don't you live near the mountains like Superior or something? Is that right? Keep your minds on God. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, I condemn this devil. You're not scared of me, but you are Jesus Christ, who can cast you out and understand his representative. Come out of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, may they go and be made well. Thanks be to God. Oh, you'll see the glory of God. You're waving your hand there, sister. You was kind enough to put your hand on that man's back for me to pray with me. Now, you've been having colon trouble, haven't you? Isn't that right? Raise up your hand, that guy. Now, it's left. God bless you. You were kind to someone else. God be with you. Believe with all your heart. Believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is near. You shall have what you ask. All right. Brother Brown, thank you. How do you do? The baby, hi, sweetheart. All right. All right, Dad, I want you to look at me a minute. You believe me to be God's servant? I believe that comes from a true heart. Yes, it's for the baby. If I can tell you by the power of God, I couldn't heal your child. But if I could tell what's wrong with the child, would you accept Jesus as the child healer? the baby is suffering from tumors. Is that right? It's two tumors, and they're all one on each kidney. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, I condemn the tumor, but it leaves the child in Jesus' name. Let's say praise be to God. All right, next. Oh, the next, who is the lady that says, look on me, sister, do you believe me to be God's prophet? A servant? I meant to say, I don't know you, but God knows you. If the Lord Jesus will let me know what is wrong with you, will you accept your healing? Look on me then, just a minute. Same way Peter and John passed through the gate called Beautiful and said, look on us. I see a crash. You've been in an automobile accident and it's your back, is that right? You believe Jesus makes you well? All right, you're going to have your healing. You go home now and be well. Believe all things that are possible. Pray for me, church. I'm getting weak. Right. You'll never know what that does to me. I could see an airplane fly through here, just saying. Here it is. It's for that little mother. Got it somewhere there, got a Sun Air Force, hadn't you? That's right. Stand up. You're thinking about it in London yet. God healed him, just saying. You'll hear from it. God bless you. Go down and be in mercy. We are strangers to each other, are related. I don't know you, but God does know you. Do you believe me to be his prophet? Or his, to see? A prophet is a preacher that I might sometimes just speak to that way. We are strangers to each other, aren't we? I don't think I ever seen you. But you're having some trouble and some examination. As shown, they're looking around on the back at the hospital or clinic or some kind of an x-ray thing. It's a floating kidney and cancer also. I have seen now, looked at the other doctor, shook his head. Isn't that true? You believe Jesus will make you well? Kind Heavenly Father, as I hold my hands against your body, make you live, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask it for God's glory. Amen. You believe me, lady, the head is that lady sitting there, you believe me to be God's prophet? Wouldn't you like to go home and eat a good decent supper again? Get over the stomach trouble, be made well. If you believe with all your heart, you may receive it. You believe it? All right, stand up to your feet. Say, I accept it now and go home, be made well. Healed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. What's it squirming around? You believe God healed you that heart trouble? Sitting there with your finger across to your mouth, you believe with all your heart that God would heal you. You do it? Stand up to your feet. Is that true? Yes, that's you. That's right. Stand up. Jesus Christ makes you well. Amen. Then she was so kind, lady, I want to go to that asthmatic condition left also. Amen. Now you can go. God bless you and be made well. Let's say praise be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
faith in God. How do you do, ladies? God bless you. As the poles were strangers to one another, God alone knows us, but He does know us. I don't know you and you not knowing me either. But God was. Is that garter sitting there? That back there? I see you're praying about a mother, too. And a mother's got TB, hasn't she? Isn't that right? You will expect and believe you shall receive what you've asked for. You can believe it. Strangers to each other, but not before God. Sometimes the spirit moving out over there, I think where it's deep, it's back in the dark. Christian friends, for sitting back in there, just keep praying. I've seen a little child, and in here somewhere's got a heart trouble, sitting right back in there. I can't see it under the light here, but it's hanging to a child with heart trouble. You believe He's going to heal it? You accept it? Stand up to your feet. God bless you, go home and be well. Only believe. All things are possible. Just keeps moving out of the audience. I see you moving from. You're not from this city. You've got something, you have key Indians around where you're at. You are a missionary to the Indians. And you're from a place, I see where you come down past the side. Parker, it's called Parker, Arizona. And you've got a gallbladder trouble. And your varicose veins are in your legs. And liver trouble, pouring out acids in your mouth and bitterness. Isn't that right? Well, I see you talking to a man that I know. He's a beast fella. It's George Craig from Indiana. And isn't there someone else with you, a woman, a missionary to you, that's suffering with the same thing that you have? Go lay your hands on her, because you're both healed. Come out of her.
upon you and for your
Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Let us say, praise the Lord. Amen. Good evening. You speak English? A little bit. You don't believe me to be God's prophet? Thank you. I'm not saying that, but he told me if I get the people to believe me. And the only way is when I catch your spirit. If I have told the truth of Jesus Christ, then he will vindicate that I'm telling the truth. Is that right? Now I go to meet you. I see an accident. You've had an accident, a car accident, and it's smashed your wrist. Don't they call you Luck or something like that? Is your name Russo? Is that right? And don't you live near the mountain? You're from Superior, Arizona.
Almighty God, have their diet, give their labor a good gift, send our mercies upon. they're doing everything illegal. I condemn every kingdom that's found these people. They can make it.